And this morning, this video shared of the hope that the people had waited in silence for 400 years. They had been waiting for a Savior. They had been waiting for the light of the world to come. And it seemed like 400 years of complete silence. But yet, God was preparing a people, and He was getting them ready. And again, we're going to be talking about through the Advent time, we're going to be talking and going into Mary. We're in our series on Philippians. But again, this aspect here, this morning message is about hope. As we know, hope is one of the candles represented in Advent. And the Bible speaks a lot about hope. We know that hope is confident assurance. Confident assurance. The Bible says another interesting proverb that I want to bring to light here. And again, we're going to be in Philippians, but I want us to unpack hope. And that is this: hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. And I want you to think about that proverb when it comes to Christ entering into the world. That here, the Israelites were waiting for a long time. But specifically, from Old Testament to New Testament, they were waiting 400 years for their coming Messiah. And it sounded really quiet. And a lot of times, before a miracle takes place, it's going to sound really quiet. It's going to sound like, God, sometimes, where are you? But then the hope of the Lord, the hope of the world will spring forth. The joy of the world, the one that will bring the tree of life. Don't we know that in Genesis, where Adam and Eve are in the garden, there is what trees? The tree of the knowledge of good and evil, right? And then you have the tree of life, right? And God will bring us to a new heaven and a new earth where there will be, and Revelation paints the picture of the waters being back and the waters flowing from the throne and the tree of life and its fruit being the healing of the nations. And so although hope sometimes can make our hearts sick because we want what that hope is promised and we haven't fully tasted of it yet, we're going to. And there's going to be coming a tree of life. A tree of life. And that is the promise that the Lord gives us. And in fact, our sermon today in Philippians, Paul will put hope alongside eager expectation in Philippians 1:20. When I think of eager expectation, I think of Christmas. I think of the eager expectation. Remember when you were small and it's Christmas Eve, right? All the kids have went out to kids' church, for those of you. Okay. You know, you were eager for getting those presents. I remember my parents would taunt me, right? Because they would buy presents and they'd say, if you look at them, we're taking them back. But they'd put them under this blanket with holes in it. Like, you know, those Afghan-looking blankets? And so I'm like, you're just daring me to look. And they'd put them in their room. They were hidden in the closet. They were in a room with the light off, with this blanket over it. It was very hard. I stayed pretty honest, but man, it was hard. But there was this eager expectation to look at the gifts, to get those gifts, right? And there's this tension that's there, that you have this eager expectation, but it's not yet, right? It's not yet. It's not Christmas Day yet, right? My friend Tom Brantner, who's the pastor up in Huron, he celebrates Christmas like all year round. His whole office is decked out in Christmas stuff. You look at me strange, but it's true. And he just loves Christmas. And so, you know, I just think about, but you know, I think that would be hard for me. If I had my office decked out in Christmas all the time, I'd be like, but it's so far away, you know, that aspect. And so, again, there's this eager expectation that Paul links with hope, right? Paul had great hope. What are you hoping for this Christmas? I think sometimes as we get older, we stop making Christmas wish lists. We stop hoping. hoping for stuff. And then on the flip side, I think sometimes we start hoping for the things that really matter. Rather than the race car that says, I'm Lightning McQueen, vroom, we start hoping for times where we can be together, where we can have quality time that lasts in our memory for so long. And I think we start, as we mature as Christians, I think we start getting this idea that there's so much joy in the giving. When my kids wake up, I remember when we lived in Monroe, New York, and the kids were coming down the stairs. I recorded them as they're coming down the stairs for Christmas, and I recorded them as they're opening up the presents. And we watched that video over and over again, sometimes not even around Christmas time, right? It's just the joy that you get to see in the giving is just such a wonderful memory. And obviously it continues, but seeing them where they were and those times. And did you guys grow up with like the camera, the big camera with like the VCR tape in? Raise your hand if you around that, right? And so my brother, he loved to take out the video camera and just start taping. And my dad's always like, put that down, we're getting ready to eat. Put that down, we've got this to do. Put that, you know? And we look back now and laugh. Because some of those recordings are some of the most precious gifts that you have to look back on and enjoy. And I think that there is joy in looking back, but there's also joy in what does God have ahead of you? What are you hoping for this Christmas? You know, just thinking about the beginning of the season, you ever get stuff that you don't want, right? For me as a kid, it was like socks and stuff like that. I'm like, I'd throw them next and go to open the next present. I never got the pink bunny pajamas, right, with the big ears and the full suit. Never had to do that. Praise the Lord. Okay, but there were some stuff that I got from some relatives. I'm like, do I need to wear that one? I don't know, but not to that degree. But again, like I said, you know, sometimes when we get older, though, the desires for Christmas, the toys just get bigger, right? The guys want the drill, right? Or they want the, you know, I've decided to buy myself for Christmas this thing. What, honey? Why are you buying? It's my Christmas gift to myself. You know, our presents get more expensive. Our toys get more expensive. But I think it's important for us to write out. And I challenge you, as we're entering into the Christmas season, maybe you've already done your Christmas shopping, but think of deep wise, what are we hoping for this Christmas? I know for me, I hope we get to see extended family. That's a big hope of mine. When you get older, you also tend to look fondly on quality time. My wife, as I've shared many times, is one of her top, out of the five love languages, her top is quality time. And I think the longer that we've been married, the more I treasure that quality time. And it becomes more and more important to me. So this Christmas, I hope we make some awesome memories together as a church. And I ask you, what are you hoping for this Christmas? The Greek word for hope is elpis, to look forward with confidence to that which is good and beneficial. This is a Christian hope. As I share very often, this is not, I hope that this happens, because in our culture, when we say that, we don't really think it's going to happen. I hope that this happens. I don't really think it's going to, but I hope so. This is not the Christian hope that we're talking about. This hope is a confident assurance. How does Paul have confidence when his circumstances wouldn't warrant that confidence? Paul is confident of his freedom because of his faith in Christ. But Paul, aren't you a fool? You say freedom, you speak of freedom, you are in chains, you are in bondage, you're in a cell. How can you speak of freedom? How can you speak of this divine hope and freedom in Christ? But yet Paul will come across that way. And so many times we try to control events. I don't know about you, but would you be willing to to say, you know, there are times where I try to control my own situation, right? I try to control what's going to take place. And again, we can do that through a number of different means. And sometimes we can feel like we really do have control. You know, I get in my car, I drive to work, I've decided the job that I'm working at, I'm coming home. There's a structure, and in the midst of that structure, there's this false sense of everything's under control. But really, there's great freedom in releasing that control and saying that control is in Christ. He controls my life. I'm putting my life in His hands. He's the author. He's the finisher of my faith. And so let's jump into our text this morning. It comes from Philippians 1:20. As it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but with full courage, and now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I'm to live on in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. Yet which shall I choose? I cannot tell. I'm hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith, so that in me you may have the ample cause to glory in Christ Jesus because of my coming to you again. Let's break down this hope. Because his first hope, it's an interesting hope. It's a hope in what he can control. And I'm here to tell you today, you choose your response. Life is going to come at you. You've been there before. You've bought the t-shirt. And there is a time where we choose, and this is going to kind of go in and out, guys. We've just put in some new stuff, and so there might be a little in and out. So bear with the screen, okay? But you choose your response. Will you have hope, or will you go in the other direction, despair? Will you choose to have that positive attitude, or will you choose to, again, think on things and go in a way that does not choose hope? We have that decision. And what's Paul's first hope? Hope in what he could control, his own response. You and I choose that. It's not a self-inflated courage, though. This is not a do-it-yourself book. Remember when the do-it-yourself books were like number one bestsellers, right? And it was just do it yourself. If you want happiness, if you want joy, you do it yourself. Pick yourself up by your bootstraps and just have it. This is not that. This is not self-made man or woman. This is saying, you know what? I know that Christ has filled me with his courage, his ability, his strength. He's going to give me the ability to take the next step and another step and another step. He's going to give me that strength. This is a great commitment to make as Christians. And Paul makes it. I will honor Christ no matter what comes my way. See, Paul here speaks of his plans to see the Philippian church again. This is his second hope. Now, this hope doesn't seem like we can buy into the first hope, right? Like, oh, I hope that I'm going to have a good attitude and, you know, I'm pretty good at keeping that. This second hope doesn't involve just you choosing your response. This hope involves divine intervention, right? This hope is going to be a point where God is going to have to free and give him the ability to walk out of his cell to go to be with the Philippian people, the church of Philippi. And he has prayed and he has heard from the Lord, and he's speaking to them that he has this hope that he's going to get to see the Philippian church again. The hope is more a prayer. It's a saturated prayer where I believe that the Lord has spoken to me. Paul had faith in the book of Acts. You remember that? During the storm, and it looked like everybody on the boat was going to die, and the waves and the wind were crashing, and people weren't even eating. They were so anxious they couldn't even eat. Have you ever been there? So anxious you can't eat. And what does he have? He has a vision from the Lord. The Lord says, you're going to make it, and I'm going to bring you through, right? And so he speaks with confidence, and he influences the whole group of people that are on the boat with him. His first hope in this passage was based on what he could control. His second hope was in what he could not control. The second hope was a deep trust in his God. And he knew that his desire was founded in Christ. See, we can hope for things and pray for things, but when we know it's deep in Christ, when we know that it runs right with the Word of God, that we can take that hope to the bank, and we can trust the Lord that he is going to work on my behalf in regards to this situation. Now, do I still need to have the other hope? That confident assurance that I'm going to walk with character, I'm going to walk with integrity, I'm going to walk with honor. I need that hope. If I'm a Christian, I'm saying I have that hope, right? But then I need to be a Christian of faith, and I need to believe God for big things, and I need to be a prayer warrior that believes God can do the impossible, has an encounter with the living God, and says, nothing is impossible with my God. What man has said is dead, the Lord has said is alive. What man has said can't be possible, my Lord has said is possible. He takes the broken, shattered pieces of a mirror that mirrored his image, and he buys it back, and he puts that image together. It's funny, and It's a Wonderful Life, the commentary that goes on with Clarence and Joseph, and even the Lord, who's called the boss. He's the boss, right? And he says, what's wrong with George Bailey? Is he sick? He said, worse, he's discouraged. That's pretty deep, isn't it? If you think about that. Because you know what? Sickness comes and goes. My family had a bout of sickness, as you guys know, last week. It went all around. Natalie and I were bathing Judah 4 times in the night because he got so sick. Yeah, just it was everywhere. Not to be gross. But we were cleaning him up 4 times. And then we were wondering, I was calling my brother the doctor. I said, should we rush him to the ER? He's only 1 year old. We were giving him Pedialyte and doing everything he should do. But you know what's worse? Hopelessness. Because you know what? Our bodies, we're either going to go to be with Jesus or our body's going to get restored, right? God builds within us this restorative process of antibodies. God made this machine pretty amazing. So what's worse than sickness? Discouragement. And Paul comes to bring hope. Because hope is not the hope that man hopes in. It's an eternal hope. It's a forever hope. It is a hope that says, I'm going to be with Christ in eternity in that new heaven and new earth. I'm going to eat from that tree of life which brings the healing of the nations. Our world is broken, and I feel like our country is more divided than it's ever been. And yet the Lord can heal brokenness. He can restore where there has been racism, where there has been separation, where there has been hate. The Lord can restore. He's a restorer, both now and completely in the future. But we're living right now in a now and not yet, aren't we? We're living now where we do experience the miraculous, but we're also living in the now where this is frail. But guess what? There's coming a time where fulfillment will take place. And sometimes, guys, that hope can make your heart sick. But a hope fulfills is a tree of life. Don't read half the story. Don't believe just half the story. Don't just take hope for, it's not fulfilled yet, and so it just is hard. It's going to be hard. But take the other piece that says hope is also fulfilled, the tree of life. And I'm waiting for that tree of life. I'm waiting for that complete fulfillment, the big picture, the whole story to be unwrapped and unraveled, unveiled, right? Revelation, another word for revelation is the unveiling. Unveiling of the who of the Christ in completion. The unveiling of the new heaven and new earth. The unveiling of what God has to come. On a little less serious note, I think about desires that I've had over the years around the Christmas season. As you can see, it's decorated already for Christmas season. I remember I wanted this big stereo, and I wanted it because my brother and sister got a big stereo, and I wanted it too. I hardly ever listened to music at the time. Like, the music I listened to was from my sister blaring it from her room, okay? And so, but I wanted it because they had it. And I wanted it because, and even when I finally got a stereo, it was so cool. It had two cassette players and a CD player. Watch out. Watch out. Our VCR has lately been eating all our tapes. Don't you hate when that comes to that point? Like, no, Beauty and the Beast. No, just joking. We're playing like a Disney movie for the kids in it. But, you know, when we think about that, now you can't even play cassette tapes, right? It's not, you can, but again, we, you know, or 8-tracks, right? You know, you think about these, and it's so, the reason why I share today that story is because my desire was founded in covetousness. Why do you desire what you desire? I think we need to constantly be a search our heart, right? We need to ask the Lord to search our heart, but then we need to search our heart too and say, Lord, why do I want what I want? Does it have good roots? Does it have bad roots? Maybe there's some weeds in those roots that are good. And we need to look at our desires and go, why do I want that? Why do I want that? And it's not just desires for material things like a cool cassette player. It's deeper things than that. This sermon's not only about confidence found in Christ. It's not about faith alone. Paul has one goal, and it's this. Life equals Christ. To live is Christ. He doesn't say to live for Christ. He'll say that other places. He says to live is Christ. Equals Christ. And we're going to unpack that. But what are you living for? What drives you? For some, it's the drive to achieve, to do. For some, it is for the big house, the sports car, the surround sound system, right? The toys just get bigger, right? Or like me, the combo cassette player and CD player with big speakers. Paul is living for Christ. Now remember, life is not biological life. It's not existing life. This is Zoe life, which means real, full life, right? And so he will say this, that life means Christ. Life, both physical and spiritual, is summed up in Christ. I can't say it enough. Life is filled up with, occupied with Christ in the sense that everything Paul does, when he trusts, it's in Christ. When he loves, it's in Christ. Hopes, obeys, preaches, follows, and so on. It's inspired by Christ. It's done for him. Christ and Christ alone. Maybe this Christmas season you feel alone. But how many times does the Bible say, don't just go by your feelings? Your feelings can change. Because a lot of times our feelings are hit by the circumstances we're experiencing. Right? Your dad splashes water on you to wake you up in the morning. That is a feeling. Right? You're responding to that immediate response. Right? But again, what is going on? What's going to be lasting? Where is your hope? Now, I think of this, and I think of how Paul, he does all these things for Christ, And in Christ alone, he receives wisdom. In Christ alone, he receives inspiration. He receives meaning and purpose for his life. And you know, if I was really creative, I'd do an acronym. Guess what? Woo! An acronym. Okay. Hold on to God and don't wimp out. Okay? Don't wimp out. Because when you wimp out, you surrender his wisdom. When you wimp out, you surrender his inspiration, his meaning, and his purpose for your life. Okay, I even looked up wimp out in the Cambridge English Dictionary, okay? And it's to decide not to do something because you're too frightened. I think of the classic high dive. You ever go up on a high dive and you get up there and your friends are like, come on, come on. And you're like, I wish I never climbed this. Or, you know, you're going to do something that's really, man, it's hard to do. It takes a lot of courage to do. Maybe you were getting ready to go on a ride on a theme park and you wimp out. Or you ask someone out, you're going to ask somebody out on a date and last minute, you wimped out. I love how evangelist Smith Wigglesworth always says, fear looks and faith leaps. Paul was confident in the future that now as always, Christ would be honored in his life and death. Courage was imparted and gained through relationship with Christ. And I want to speak to something, and I mean it with seriousness in my heart. And it's a prayer that I pray regularly for people around our nation. Suicide is on the rise in our culture. And I believe that it stems from the void of not knowing Christ. And again, not to be crazy about the acronym, but do they have meaning in their life? Do they have purpose? And sometimes it's this overwhelming feeling that I have no purpose. I have no meaning. Nobody cares. Nobody loves me. Funny that you don't have to teach that to your kids, do you? They can even start knocking themselves down, even if nobody says it to them. They can start doing it to themselves. They say, I'm nothing, I'm nobody. No one likes me. Because the enemy wants to come in and attack, and he doesn't care where you are or where you're from. He wants to attack. Guys, we're in a war. We're in a war. And the devil seeks to steal and kill and destroy, but Jesus said, I came to bring life and life to the fullest when you find it in me and you live for me. See, so many times in our lives when we're hurting, when we feel damaged, when we feel, again, we've experienced the trials of life, our life can very quickly become myopic. But when you're in Christ, God wants to fill you. He wants to redeem you. He wants to help you. He wants to fill you with hope. He wants to fill you with wisdom, with inspiration, with meaning, with purpose. I'm not saying, Paul, when he talks about life, is not a walk in the park. I just feel like I'm on a cruise here when I'm in jail. I just feel like I'm at a resort. It's so great. I've been beaten with whips. It's awesome. He is not one that likes self-mutilation. He's been beaten with scars on his back. He's been shipwrecked. He's been gone through all these things. Paul's not saying to live life as Christ, life equals Christ, to live as Christ. He's not saying this is an easy road. If somebody ever told you, you know, if you want to accept Christ, he just has blessing after blessing for you, and there's no pain in the offering, I hope that you've heard my heart, that that's not my heart. There will be pain in the offering. And sometimes when we go through the trials of life, this is where, again, we not only taste the joy of Christ, but we also taste of his suffering. Right? He said, you too are going to go through tribulation, but take courage, take heart, because I've overcome the world. I've overcome the world. And we need to impart that to a generation that are taking their lives. And I think a lot of times in our culture, people look for the God-shaped hole to be filled in relationship with another person. And they look for that person to then really be their God. to really fill that God-shaped hole.
You know, I don't know if you guys know, I don't know how this will go over, but the 80s song, my sister used to listen to Chicago a lot, okay? And remember that song, "You're the meaning in my life, you're my inspiration." So raise your hand if you at least acknowledge that song. Okay, thank you. I'm not saying you like it. I'm not saying it's on your greatest hits. Just an acknowledgement. But you know what? And I watched the 80s video, which is the corniest video you can watch. And they all have like the 80s dudes and the 80s clothes, you know? And he's singing this song, and this girl and this boy looking at each other.
That's not your God. And a lot of times we look for meaning, we look for value to be in that other person. And God says, let me be the meaning of your life. Let me be the purpose for your life. Let me be your inspiration. Let me be that. Our relationships become problems when we look for that significant other to fulfill what God was meant to fulfill in our lives. Again, God is all about healthy, life-giving relationships. And the Bible very much encourages relationships within the family of God. But again, Christ gives the inspiration. We can find our meaning in Him. We don't have to go to someone else to be that meaning. And even in a good, healthy marriage, I would ask you, have you put that person trying to fulfill that need in place of Christ, whether you're a male or a female? Are you looking for them to fulfill that goal, to fulfill that meaning, to fulfill that purpose? And we can accidentally slip into that because we love them. I love my wife, and she is a gift from God. And I tell her very often that. I praise God for you. But guess what? Christ comes first in my life. And the reason why I was so attracted to Natalie was because Christ came first in her life. I knew what I was getting. I was getting a woman that loved Jesus with all of her heart. And it shows and it ministers to you, her heart for the Lord. And I was a little silly as a teenager. I actually wrote down, I prayed out what I wanted to see in my wife. And God fulfilled it. There's something about going to Him and saying, Lord, You are my all in all. And I'm not looking for this person, whether I've been married 10 years or 30 years or never been married at all. I'm not looking for this person to fulfill what only You can fulfill. And sometimes we've got to go back to that, right? Sometimes that's where we start. Right? That's where our marriage starts. That's where our life starts. And then we get distracted by things. And then images come across our minds. And the world starts telling us what we want and what we desire and what we have to have. And we start getting caught up in those things. And they start looking really attractive. And the Lord says, come back to the cross. Come back to your first love. Come back to your meaning, your purpose, that life equals Christ. How do you and I live? We live as extensions of Christ. I am the vine, Jesus says, and you are the branches. I am out of the stump came the Joshua tree. Out of the stump came the salvation limb. And then guess what? We were grafted in. If you're not Jewish, I'm not Jewish, okay? It would be awesome if I was, but I'm not. Natalie claims there's something in their line. I still want to do that, you know, where you can test the blood and find everything. You know, we all have been grafted in. And I just think about the joy that we're still grafted in, guys. We're still a part of the greater tree. And Paul here, he gives an example of how to live like Christ. If we live like Christ, persecution wouldn't be as hard to swallow. Hard times in our lives are livable. And not just livable, but there's this divine hope that we can live with joy. And joy why is this series, guys, called Joy No Matter What? Because joy no matter what is not I slap a smile on my face at church. Well, bless God, hallelujah. And then I go out arguing with somebody else and get mad, and come Monday, I forget everything that we've worshiped God about, right? Joy no matter what is not just a happy-go-lucky, everything's fine in my life. Joy no matter what is a deep joy that can't be taken away. No matter what the enemy tries to attack my life, no matter what happens in my life, I will hold on to Christ. He is my source. He is my everything. Listen, I'm aware of this, that maybe the holidays are a hard time for many of us here. Maybe you feel the load of loss. Maybe even you have been struggling with sickness, like I shared with my family. Hope can relieve that burden. And that's why I love this promise that Jesus says. He says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. I will give you rest. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Guys, that's not something you just do once. You got to do it. I have to do it every day. Go, you know what? God, I'm giving you this situation. I'm giving you that. I'm giving you this sickness. I'm giving you this problem. I'm trusting you. And although it's hard to trust you right now, I'm not trusting you with my emotions, because right now my emotions don't feel like I can trust or will trust. But I'm doing that first hope. That hope that says, you know what? I have a choice to make. And I hope with assurance. I hope with strength. And then I have that second hope, that's miraculous hope, that's fulfilling hope, that's powerful hope, that gives me the strength to go on, that gives me the strength to believe God for miracles and see how God is going to bring about his kingdom come. Jesus said, pray this prayer with me, right? Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Stop. That's a powerful prayer. We're asking God's kingdom to come down. Your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. The miraculous, the now but not yet. I want a piece of that now. And guess what? God enjoys you being eager for that. I want a piece of your kingdom now. And you know what? He might give you a little piece. He might give you a big piece. I always like the bigger piece. I don't know about you, but I do. But God loves that about us. When we are so eager to have his kingdom come, his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. I want your ways to be my ways, God. I want your thoughts to be my thoughts. I want your deeds to be my deeds. I want my life to be equal Christ, to live as Christ, to live as Christ, and to die as gain. Paul knew that there was a joy in dying, that we don't cease to exist. We don't go out into the nebulous. There isn't some like many other religions where if I just am good enough, maybe I'll sneak into heaven. Maybe I'll reach nirvana. Maybe I will go and again reach this epitome of good works that get me in. It's only by those good works, the good works that Christ has done for me, that I'm able to approach the throne of grace. And so to die is gain. But why again is Paul not contemplating suicide? Because a life in Christ is a life of submission. We don't like that in our culture. You have to submit to me. What? I'm an American. What you talking about? I don't need to submit to nobody. I quit. Paul did not make the choice. He couldn't make the choice. Paul was submitted every day to Christ, caught up in God's redemptive plan, which is marked by healing and wholeness. And Paul is certain that he would stay with and stand alongside of his friends. Why? Because God wants you to be a blessing. with every breath that you're given. God wants you to be a blessing for his kingdom purposes so that we could bring the now and the not yet as Christ has. And so that's my challenge to you today, is to be a people that says to live is Christ and to die is gain. My life is not my own. I've been bought with a price. I've been found in him. He is the source of everything that I need. And let me share this lastly. Paul's gladness is boundless as he lets the Philippians know that he will soon be released. He's believing God. There's light at the end of the tunnel. God will give him courage when he gets to make his defense before the Roman tribunal. He knows that if he's questioned, he's going to spread the gospel with strength, and he's going to go forth in what God calls him to go forth in. And we need to carry ourselves with that same confidence, that when we go forth in the mission of God, that he will give us the strength. Would you bow your heads with me? Lord God, I thank you for hope. I thank you, God, for that confident assurance. I thank you, God, for the hope that changes our daily lives of how we react and what we do and how we respond. But I also thank you for that second hope, that blessed hope that you're coming for your church. That, again, we are to be about your business and we're believing you for miracles. If you're praying for a miracle, would you just lift up your hand? You're just believing God for a miracle for you or for someone else in your life. Lord God, we just thank you that you hear the prayers of the saints, Lord God, and that you move on our behalf. God, you are a miraculous God. You are King of kings and Lord of lords. And we just ask for each situation with the hands raised, Lord God, that you would intervene in those situations, God, where you would give grace, that you would give favor, Lord God, that you would give divine healing and divine power that would be shown, Lord God, even through our weakness. And through our frailty, that the weak would say, I am strong, that the poor would say, I am rich because of what the Lord has done. We thank you for your great love. We thank you, God, that you hear our prayers. And we thank you for hope. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, the Lord bless you. Before you guys leave, if you could, again, we have the tables out from Ladies Tea Previous. If you could see how it kind of looks like an airplane, there's little dots on the floor. Those are where the chairs go. So if you guys could kind of take your chairs and put them alongside of each other and help us to set up a little bit, we'd really appreciate it. God bless you. Have a wonderful day. And the altars are open for prayer.